We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Vesco, you said you were looking forward to the Thursday night game, and boy, you weren't disappointed.
Well, the game sucked.
That's the funny thing. That's actually how I kind of wanted to start. I was out last night for a little bit at a fundraiser for the Summit Future Foundation up at Harris, a bourbon tasting, which was spectacular. Ryan, would have been right up your alley, man. Would have been
right the
up
invite.
Your alley last night for the bourbon tasting. First, it's their first one ever, so they're going to do another one next year, so I'll make sure that you are a part of that.
Right, cool. Maybe
I'll
bust out the Houndstooth jacket for it.
Maybe I'll get you a celebrity bartend opportunity.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's some who's who's there last night. I'll tell you what, man. So it was a really great event. Maybe walk around, taste bourbon and all that kind of stuff. And I'm driving home, and I'm trying to find the game to watch as I'm driving, which is a bad idea. So I just threw on some music. And Ryan texts me. He goes, "You're really looking forward to this game. There's no snow, and this game sucks." And so I got
it
home.
It did. Yes.
So I thought it was going to be aesthetically pleasing,
it still is. Pittsburgh and, like, I was thinking about this when you texted me. Like, Pittsburgh and Cleveland playing each other in football, like, takes me back to the mid-'80s, man. I don't know. There's just something about it. I guess because it's, like, your childhood.
Oh, when teams scored 14 points a game?
Bernie, like, in my mind, I'm seeing Bernie Kosar and Bruce Coslett on the side. Remember, Bruce Coslett was a coach of the Browns, I think. And you got Pittsburgh, and, you know, you got the old-school Steeler teams of those years, and Bubby Brister, and, like, I don't know. I just, like, had it. Like, I have childhood moments when certain teams play.
Bubby Brister.
I love Bubby Brister. But you do. You have those childhood moments, and I think that's what it was. I don't know. Pittsburgh and Cleveland always was kind of exciting
but
for me.
Bruce Coslett was with the Bengals.
Oh, that's right. He was with the Bengals. Who am I? Bud Carson? Was he the guy with the Browns then? There was a BC with the Browns. Bud Carson, I think, was the head coach of the Browns at the time. Anyway, either here nor there. So I just, whatever. I like Cleveland-Pittsburgh. It's a cool rivalry.
All those AFC North teams look alike.
They do. I like them. I like those rivalries. Hell, I wish Cincinnati was better. So I thought it'd be good from that standpoint. I still like, you know, the Browns uniforms, Steelers uniforms. I thought there'd be snow, be fun, be a cool slug amount, you know, Cleveland. You know.
Oh, it was.
Oh, and it definitely was. Yeah. So Ryan's like, this game stinks. And so I get home. It's before halftime. And so I'm watching the second half. I'm kind of dozing off. And then all hell breaks loose at the end of the game last night. And if you didn't stay up to watch the end of the game, I don't blame you because it was kind of a pathetic game last night from a football standpoint. But the last 8 seconds of that game were anything but pathetic last night. It was one of the more surreal scenes I think we've ever seen on a football field. I don't remember the last time I saw a guy take a helmet and use it as a weapon, rip the guy's helmet off of Mason Rudolph, Myles Garrett did, and then take it and smack Mason Rudolph in the head with it, then get stomped by the Pouncey brothers punched in the face.
Look like a training camp fight where the guy who grabbed the helmet is never heard from again.
You know, he's cut immediately, right? This happens to be one of the best defensive players in football in Myles Garrett. I don't think Myles Garrett should ever play in the NFL this year. I think he should be suspended for the rest of the year and then have to, you know, go for reinstatement. I guess what are there, 5 games left in the season if you're the Cleveland Browns?
This feels
now,
like
right?
An end of the year suspension.
It does. Yeah. I mean, you go back, I think it was it Albert Haynesworth who stomped on some dude's face a couple of years ago, probably a long time ago now. But he was suspended for like 6 games when he did that, and we only have 5 games left of the season. And to me, this was as violent an act as I've seen on a football field in a very, very long time. This was a freaking melee that occurred where both benches cleared. They're both out there on the field, and Myles Garrett needs to be done for the year. He needs to be absolutely 100% done for the year.
According to NFL.com, it was a skirmish.
Skirmish.
Not a melee.
And that's the thing. Every other website out there is calling it a brawl, a melee. NFL.com called it a skirmish last night.
They stayed away from a little
dust up.
Getting over the top.
This was anything but a skirmish last night. This was anything but a little dust up last night. This was an all-out, we are gladiators type of moment. I mean, Eric Winston can sit there and say, we're not gladiators and all of that kind of stuff. No. This was the Roman Colosseum on full force last night, what we saw. I mean, we saw some dudes really just absolutely go ape you know what last night with that. Mason Rudolph at first tries to rip Myles Garrett's helmet. That's how it all started. Mason Rudolph is going to get off scot-free in this. You watch the video. He's down on the pile. He's got Myles Garrett by the back of the helmet, and he's trying to rip that guy's helmet off after Myles Garrett takes him to the ground. So I understand why Myles Garrett is mad, but you have to control yourself in that situation, and it's not the guy who usually throws the first punch that gets caught. It's the guy that whacks you on the head with the helmet that gets caught. Because if you watch that video again, Mason Rudolph is ripping the back of Myles Garrett's helmet off. And obviously, two wrongs don't make a right. Myles Garrett is obviously
the fourth yank on the face mask or whatever it took to rip off Rudolph's helmet that was over the top. And then he swings it. And thank goodness he doesn't connect with the crown of the helmet.
I mean, he just missed, Josh. He just missed.
And that's a full swing. And luckily, the side of the helmet grazes the side of the head of Rudolph. That connects fully with the top of the helmet. He's knocked out at best.
At best. I mean,
Maybe dead.
Yeah, if you hit him in the temple or something like that. That's ultimately why Myles Garrett needs to be suspended for the rest of the
Marquise
year.
Marquise Pouncey just regulating. I mean,
God, that was a great regulation moment.
He's going to get something, but I mean, what do you expect? I mean, they should all jump in there and get after this guy, because that's pretty natural. What Garrett did.
Now you see Marquise
crazy.
Pouncey coming from the backside when he saw comes in with multiple roundhouses on Myles Garrett.
Why
the problem is he's hitting him in the helmet.
Yeah, why he's kicking him in the helmet, I don't know, but he was just trying to land any available area because I think it was David DeCastro had Garrett pinned to the turf at that point in time.
Yeah, and it was insane last night, and it really was. It was the Roman Coliseum.
We're not gladiators. This isn't the Roman Coliseum.
No, it was last night.
Pretty much was.
It was last night, man. It was 100% gladiators, Roman Coliseum at the end of that game last night. And I give Pouncey a lot of credit. I mean, in my opinion, I know he's going to get suspended, but I wouldn't suspend that guy. That's coming to the aid of your fellow man in a situation like that.
Sickening and disgusting.
That was one of those deals where you've got to look at Pouncey and go, okay, I'm going to give you a pass on that because you were taken up for your teammate in that situation. And, you know, cooler heads are supposed to prevail. But in a situation like that, when another player rips a helmet off and then bashes your guy over the head with that helmet, all hell breaks loose and all hell can break loose in that type of situation. The only thing I would say if I was Pouncey, rip that guy's helmet off and start punching him in the face. You don't need to swing and hit him in the helmet because that's not going to do any damage. And then Myles Garrett's on the ground. He starts kicking him on the ground. Like, Pouncey was not giving in.
No.
And he had the back of his teammate last night. I give him a ton of credit.
Except for it was already over by that time he was kicking.
Well, I mean, never over.
I think DeCastro had him pinned. I think it was going to be okay at that point in time. But wow, what a...
I think these teams play in 16 days, too, Josh.
Yeah, and I think Garrett's gone for sure, and
right.
Pouncey's probably not playing in that game either.
Probably not. He probably gets a three-game suspension, so
guess.
He doesn't have to play against the Cleveland Browns. But Myles Garrett needs to be done for the year, and it's time for the NFL, which is so adamant with player safety, and we're going to talk about player safety. That was about as unsafe a play. Like, it's safer to crush somebody going over the middle right now. The stuff we've eliminated from the game that we're suspending people for now is a lot less
deadly. That helmet on the wide receiver was pretty egregious earlier in the game. That one looked super dangerous. And then up the ante with basically no time left on the clock and the game not in doubt. To flip out like that is crazy.
And that wasn't even a helmet to helmet. That was a helmet to a head. God, I just keep watching it over and over and over again. ESPN's calling it chaos. NFL Network is calling it a skirmish. That was an all-out freaking brawl last night in Cleveland.
Do they have to worry about, like, legalese? NFL.com?
I don't know.
You know, how they word things?
Yeah.
Because you got the NFLPA and you got the owners,
no.
And they're kind of in the. Do they always have to worry about how they phrase things?
I think NFL.com is trying to downplay it, and NFL Network is obviously they're going to try to downplay it. They don't want people talking about that. They're going to act like it was just a boys will be boys type of moment because they're the state run media network, and I don't blame them. I'd be doing the same thing too if you're in PR for the NFL right now. Look at the other.
They're not
here.
Shying away from showing it. I'm just wondering why NFL.com chooses to not. To phrase it that way.
Because if you're going to
the
headlines.
They're showing it. They showed the end of the game. They replay the games on Thursday nights overnight.
Right.
And they end. They just got done at 6 and then right into the show, which is talking about it. And it's still talking about it. And they're not shying away from discussing it. I'm just curious why NFL.com just writes up. skirmish.
I'll
nothing
tell
to
you
see
why,
here.
Because if you're scrolling through the headlines and you see brawl in Cleveland, you're clicking on that. If you see skirmish, you're like, yeah, skirmish is happening all the game, and maybe you're passing it by. They're hoping you don't click on that link and see.
Won't they want you to watch NFL Network?
Well, I don't know. They get you.
Seems like you're working against yourself there. I don't know, but there's probably it's probably the. I always figured it was like the website of record, mm-hmm. if they're sorting things out then between the players and the owners and offices.
Maybe. I don't know.
So you got to phrase it.
Last night was just brutal, man.
That was
just
no
brutal.
That was no skirmish.
No, that was the brawl, the settle it all. Do you remember a football fight that got like that? Like, I mean, Vontaze Burfict had some stuff with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati a couple of years ago, but where the bench is cleared, but nothing like that. Usually you see a bench is cleared.
You might see punches to helmets, but once the helmet comes off and it's swung, no.
Yeah, no, nothing like
that.
That
looks like a training camp thing gone wrong.
Yeah.
That probably doesn't get that far, you know?
Correct. Yeah, that was insane.
Because if helmets have come off before and they ripped them off before, but the multiple yanks to get the helmet off and then to swing it.
Yeah.
You done lost your mind.
You did. And you know what? You can't lose your mind, and I understand how it happens, but you can't. You've got to control yourself in that situation, and Myles Garrett didn't. He probably cost himself and should have cost himself the rest of the season.
Yeah, so everybody's expecting the NFL to come down quickly today. So
well, it is Friday. It's a good news dump a day, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, just that they're going to handle it before the weekend. Right. So maybe we get something yet this morning. So we'll keep you up to date. We'll obviously be talking about it throughout the morning here today. Patrick Mahomes feeling as good as he has since week one. All right. The knee's fine, the ankle's fine, let's play some football, and it's about fixing now the little things.
The separation in the NFL is tiny. I mean, from whoever y'all said the best team is to the worst team, I mean, everybody can beat anybody on every single day, and we know that as a team. I mean, you play with these guys no matter what team they're on, and we knew that going to that game that they were going to be a team that had a lot of talent and they were going to fight. I mean, they're in the same situation that we're kind of in now where they needed to win the game. And so for us, I mean, as an offense, as a defense, and as a special team, we didn't execute at a high enough level. We all had chances to win that game, and we understand that now we're kind of at that point where we're in a battle now. And so we're going to go out there every single day and make sure that we can execute at a higher level because we haven't been this whole season and playing the way that we know how to play. And so, I mean, we talk about that as a team, but I think that's just the mindset that Coach Reed's kind of instilled in us and the mindset that we're going to have moving forward.
Feels like kind of an adjustment week. Good. You had a little extra time because you have the Monday night game. You're coming off a game where everybody's going, what the heck happened? And if this one gets you on the road to right, good.
Yeah,
because it feels like, yeah, you'd admit it, we haven't done some of these things all season long, and it's kind of time.
Yeah, it is, and you look at the numbers and across the board, and Ryan and I were talking about this, you know, before the show. It's like everybody wants to still continue to bag on the defense, but they are better than they were a year ago. They were like 14th or 17th in points given up. They're giving up less points per game than they did a season ago. It's just when they get gashed in a big way, right? Like there's no like little baby steps or anything
they're
like that.
They're just bad at the wrong time.
Yeah, they're bad at the wrong times.
Well, they bend and break.
Yeah, they do. They do. They bend, break. You know,
you're just not supposed to break, but they break.
Right, but it's so glaring when they mess up. But the offense, as Ryan was saying, is like, oh, it's all our favorites. It's Mahomes, it's Kelsey, it's guys like that that you really like as football players. And it's hard to be negative or critical, if you will, of your favorites. But this offense is scoring a touchdown less per game. They're awful in the red zone this year. We'll get to that a little bit later on, you know, in the show. And special teams, which has always been good, is now really, really bad. Like there's been a lot of boners on special teams this year that have cost this team an opportunity to win football games. And so I think it's just easy to blame the defense and consistently blame the defense because at big times they seemingly don't show up. But it is a team game, and everybody can do better, including the quarterback.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue, and it just needs to slow down. Next.
There's no accountability anymore.
Fesco in the morning.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue. It is the fantasy pick to pop. Fridays at 6:15, we make our fantasy pick for the weekend. Monday at 6:15, you tell us who had the best of the fantasy picks. You can win a $50 gift card and assorted sauces and spices from a Smokehouse some Barbecue.
Is there any truth to the rumor that I just heard the Raiders are interested in Myles Garrett?
Yeah.
Did they put in a claim for him yet?
Too easy.
I don't think. That's not how that works at all.
Does it work that way?
If, how that works
it's
at all.
Call the office. Preemptively call the office.
Yeah, hey, we'll take him.
If. I'm not saying you're going, but if.
If. He's available to come to Oakland next year?
Actually, Cleveland would just like to reclaim him.
Yeah.
Put him on waivers just to reclaim him.
Running backs are picks this week for the fantasy pick to pop, and Ryan has the first pick.
Oh, shocker, I won.
Oh, because you cheated last week.
Mr. Champion.
I didn't cheat at all.
You did. It was champion a cheat. It was cheat. Cheated. Cheated.
How's Joe feeling about me?
I haven't talked to Joe this week. Now that the
how's that feel, Joe Stradamus?
Now that it's over, our relationship has dwindled to no talking. I think he's mad at me, and I'm mad at him. Huh. Set us up for failure. Actually, we're both mad at Nagy for losing that game to the Raiders in London.
That's understandable. That's really understandable.
I do have the first pick this week. I don't know why you would take anybody other than Christian McCaffrey if you're picking running backs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care who he's playing. I don't care the fact that he is listed as questionable with, I believe, a foot injury. That doesn't bother me either. Let's go Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey.
By far the best running back in the NFL. That's a good selection by you with the first pick.
You.
Nicely
yeah,
done. He's on a bye this week, but that's okay.
He's playing the Atlanta Falcons this week.
Darn it. Thought I'd get you to go, oh, I better change my pick.
No.
And then I would swoop in.
That was your play? You thought you were going to trick me into thinking he was on a bye week?
Oh, then I'll pass, yes.
He doesn't play on Monday, does he?
No. That'd be Chiefs.
Oh, that's right.
Chargers.
Yeah,
Chiefs and Chargers.
Chiefs Chargers.
By the way, come join us at Winning Streaks.
That's right. We'll be there Monday.
Watch party Winning Streaks Monday night. Harris, North Kansas City. Join us to watch the game. Great place to catch the game. Food and beverage specials. All the TVs. You can even get the leather recliner.
That's right.
Kick back and sleep in the third quarter.
That's right. Be there or be a Raiders fan.
I have the second pick. I'll take the Vikings. Cool. Dalvin Cook. Only the Chiefs shut him down. So he's not playing the Chiefs this weekend. So
who is
Dalvin
he playing Cook. This week?
I don't know. I think it's like Detroit.
They play Denver.
Denver. That's right. Denver.
Denver. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'll take Dalvin.
They're at home. Dalvin Cook will be good.
I will take Oakland running back Josh Jacobs against the Cincinnati Bengals this week. I'm picking more against the opponent than I am necessarily for the Oakland Raiders and Josh Jacobs, but they're playing the Bengals this week, so I will take Josh Jacobs against the Bengals.
You don't have to feel upset taking an Oakland Raider. It's fine.
Is it all right?
Well, I did tell everybody
this is fantasy,
how
Bob.
Fake they were for like 3 days now. So
the volume that Josh Jacobs gets and the fact that the Bengals suck all equals a good pick.
It does. All right.
I don't have to feel bad about taking
a Raider. No. You know, they'll win. They're losing to the Jets, but they're beating the Cincinnati Bengals.
So Monday, 6:15. Remember, Ryan has Christian McCaffrey. I have Dalvin Cook. Vesco has Josh Jacobs. You tell us who the fantasy pick to pop. You can win a $50 gift card, assorted sauces and spices to Smokehouse Barbecue.
Has Myles Garrett been kicked out yet for the league for the rest of the year?
No, not in the last minute.
Nothing has happened.
Let's refresh. No.
No, nothing.
Let you know when we have movement.
You think Rogers even up yet? You think he's waking up in his penthouse in New York this morning and nothing to do on Friday.
It's 7:20 right now.
I always
love to assume the sun's coming.
You think he takes a subway to work, or does he get a car?
Like a sandwich?
He's got a car with dark windows, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think that they wait, though? Nothing starts till 8? Like, they all punch the clock. The thing goes beep,
and they all
file into the office and then start work?
I think so.
Is that how that happens at the NFL office?
How long was Goodell on the phone last night? Like, I don't think he slept last night, right? You got to think he was on the phone with people all night talking about what they're going to do in this situation.
Quite possibly,
I mean, I think it also sets a precedent, too. If you don't suspend him for the rest of the year, you're basically saying, this is okay. It's only worth three games if you whack somebody with a helmet.
Just football.
Yeah, no, he's got to go.
Just football. You have been preaching slow it down, slow it down, slow it down. That it's cool that the Chiefs score fast.
Yeah.
But you're not helping out the complimentary football aspect of it by having explosive plays and scoring fast or running a whole bunch of plays.
Right.
As was the case the other day, and still not taking enough time off the clock.
Even though they
team.
Dominated in time of possession, they still at times didn't possess the ball long enough for that defense. And I think you have to go overboard. Like, you have to go like insanely overboard right now to protect your defense. It's almost like, you know, you're a parent and you got a 2-year-old toddler running around. You have to go overboard to protect that child. And I think, like it or not, this is where we are with this defense. And I'd rather go overboard and protect the defense with a little less from the offense than to go out there and expose this defense. And again, coaching is about putting your team and your players in the best position to be successful, and scoring one play 60 yards gives you the points, but it doesn't put your team in the position to be successful because you're rolling your defense back out there on the field, and you got to put them back out there in a situation to allow the other team to kind of march down the field. And so I think it's imperative, especially this week against the Chargers, where we're talking about two different running backs that could have a pretty big day and really going forward for the rest of the season and into the postseason. I think Andy Reid does need to do a better job of, we could use the term slowing things down if you want, but it's more about playing complementary football and adjusting during the game too, like understanding where the flow of the game is going and understanding that, okay, we've got to do some things differently. Like, you look at the last three drives for the Chiefs in that game against the Tennessee Titans. 6 plays, 5 plays, 4 plays on the last three drives, if I'm not mistaken. You've got to find a way to do more than that. And at that point of the game, basically play a prevent offense and keep that ball away from the Tennessee Titans and figure out a way to run out the clock in that game. You can't go 6 plays, then 5 plays, and then 4 plays on your last three possessions of a very tight football game like we saw down in Nashville and expect to come out on top when the other offense at that point in time was playing great football. And Tennessee didn't play good football in the first half at all of that game on offense, but they stuck to their plan, they continued to use the running back, and they got better as the game went along. And I think teams are going to start to do that against the Chiefs because you see teams that have success doing that against the Chiefs. And so I think late in the game, you've got to find a way to not go out there and put on this impressive aerial show. You got to put on an impressive show, milking that clock and running things out and making sure you get out with a victory.
Therese Paylor, Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider, dropped by our show as he does on Thursdays here on Fesco in the Morning. And we asked him, do the Chiefs need to slow it down?
It's about putting up points. Like, football is about completing passes. So if you got that many plays, that means that you're having success. That means if you got 70, that means you've been converting third down, you can make it first down. It's about, like, having a winning game plan. So, like, in a lot of ways, right, like, 75 plays is a real good indication of how successful they've been. I mean, completions count as much as runs. You know, like, as long as you're completing and you're running time off the clock, you're, like, aiding the defense. You know, time of possession wasn't like a big – the Chiefs dominated time of possession. So, like, there was no excuse, right, for the run defense. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't on the field for 40 minutes on Sunday. Like, it wasn't like that. Like, it was the other way. So, you can want to play complimentary style football. And, you know, like you, there have certainly been games this year where I've been like, hey, you know, like, let's sprinkle in the run a little bit more. Let's have a little bit more conservative game plan. Let's, you know, give this defense a boost. But, you know, I you watch that game and it's just like, okay, the offense is killing it. Mahomes threw for 450, which is awesome. I'm not about neutering the best quarterback in the NFL, but the defense came up short yet again. And, you know, obviously some blame with that lies with Andy, you know, because he's taking the blame himself.
Sure,
know?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Bob, like, those three areas, the ball security, special teams, the run defense, I promise you, like, if this team loses in the playoffs, one of those things would be a reason why.
And those are things that Therese mentioned at the end that we haven't had to worry about in the past. We talked earlier in the week about the pace of fumbles that this team is on this year. They're one fumble away from having their entire
total
from an entire season last year. And they're not playing well on special teams right now. And so, which was always a given,
like,
right? Like, it was an automatic.
Tobes got this.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about it. This year doesn't look as automatic in a lot of the phases, not just
right.
like one. Like,
field goals.
The entire special team
returns,
looks like,
you know,
it's a bit iffy.
And I think when you had those things going in your favor and they're not going in your favor, and then you have the defense, you know, on top of that, not getting a stop when you need to get a stop, it's okay to change things up on offense. I mean, their second to last drive where they had that field goal fiasco, you know, where Dustin Colquitt's thrown around and has the greatest look of all time on his face. That drive took off, you know, like 20 seconds of the clock. I mean, you've got to do better than that. And Therese talks about how passes move the ball too. Yes, but more can go wrong on a pass. You can get your QB killed. He could throw an interception. You can have an incomplete pass. The dude can drop it. A simple handoff up the middle, as long as you hold on to the damn football, you're going to take at least 40 seconds off that clock and not have to worry about it. Or you make the opposition use their timeout so late in the game when they're driving, they don't have the opportunity to use a timeout. And so from my standpoint, I understand we want to see this aerial show and it's all fun and good, but other aspects of your game aren't doing so well right now. You've got to try to compensate for that with the best possible unit that you have. and that's on offense, because I think you can trust the offense to do things differently and to slow things down more than you can trust the defense to all of a sudden come on and get a play when you need them to get a play.
693-06 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We'll shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. And there's only one Astros pitch we need, and it wasn't stolen. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Six 693-06 in the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few. Anything you would like to discuss, 693-06. We had a very early one before the show even started, like 550 today. Someone texted in and shouted out.
And we'll get to it because it is a question that I think a lot of people want to know. And
I love that someone rolled out of bed and their first thought was, I got to ask.
Yeah. I got to fire this one off.
And actually, I have a personal story to go with this question on the text line.
There you go. The Astros now, the cheaters of sports. Cheat.
So, Greg, I got it going here. See, Wood and Moylan.
There, that was from a Royals game, right?
Yeah.
The whistles were happening as then the Royals.
It was a Carlos Beltran single or double, I believe, and into an alley.
There was a whistle. They knew fastball, swinging fastball on the Royals.
Sure.
Right? Carlos Beltran hits the base hit, right?
Are we going to change your name to the Houston Asterix?
The Houston Asterix,
that's
maybe.
That's pretty good.
Maybe.
So, Greg, I got it going here. See, Wood and Moylan.
Tweet.
See, it just sounds like clapping to me.
It sounds like remember those thunder sticks that they had at the World Cup? It sounds like somebody's like clapping like wood blocks together.
Yeah.
Or somebody plays in the band. Base it.
So they were whistling, smacking garbage cans, what happened. And then, Carlos Beltran's in the middle of this thing now.
I think
the new Mets manager.
Yeah, the Mets got to fire him. He'll have a shorter career with the Mets than Wally Backman did as the manager. I mean, like seriously,
who?
Wally Backman managed the Mets for a day, and then they found out he had some issues, and they got rid of him. But I think the Mets have to fire him.
George O'Leary is the Notre Dame coach?
That's exactly right. Okay. Yeah, I think the Mets have to fire Beltran. I think the Red Sox have got to fire Alex Cora. And I think Major League Baseball does need to come down hard on this. I was looking at an article on USA Today this morning about this, and there's like 14 general managers that spoke on the condition of anonymity out at the GM meetings that just took place out in Phoenix, and all of they want to see these guys, you know, their feet put to the fire on this one. And ultimately, I think Jeff Luhnow and AJ Hinch probably should be suspended for an entire year if this does come out to be true. And if it does come out to be true, then Beltran and Cora need to be fired as well as managers, because you can't have that kind of culture infesting other organizations, because they obviously know, you know, how to do this kind of stuff. And so you can't have that kind of stuff in Major League Baseball where you're cheating to that extent. Stealing signs from second base is one thing. I get that. I understand that. But doing it the way that they did it with this elaborate scheme is really, really bizarre. Did you notice somebody stole the 6'10 sign, Josh? Did the Astros do that?
Yes. Been waiting on that joke for a while too, haven't you? All week long. There's only really one Astros highlight that we need. There's only one pitch that we need.
Yeah.
I don't know if they gave it away to us or not, but thanks.
And now sip to the belt and to the plate. Breaking ball, ground ball up the middle. Correa, he misplayed it. The ball goes into center field. Two-run score, and this game is tied. And Carlos Correa, in the blink of an eye, goes from hero to goat.
I didn't hear any whistling. I didn't hear any garbage cans rustling. I just heard a solid base hit.
Solid base hit. Royals did it on the up and up. How much were they cheating in that series, too? Sons of guns.
Should have been a sweep. Is that what you're saying?
Who knows now, man? Like, how about you, Darvish, getting rocked in 2017 in two starts against the Houston Astros? Like, he didn't even make it out of the second inning in both starts against the Astros in the playoffs.
So, did the Astros know Major League Baseball was breathing down their necks, so they tanked all those home games in the World Series this year?
That's what it was. That's what it was. Had to have been, yeah.
Or they went legit. They shut down the camera, and so they weren't getting the advantage.
Maybe that's
they lost
what it
all
was.
Those home games in the World Series.
Lost them all.
They knew it was coming.
Yeah. Probably. I'd like to go back now to the World Series and listen to see if we can hear anything like that going on during the postseason.
Didn't help this year.
No, it didn't help him in the World Series this year at all. But, you know, you got a lot more people around during the postseason in the World Series this year. So maybe they just decided, all right, they're on to us and we should get out of this thing. But the Astros, Lunau, Hinch, gone for an entire year. They really got to send a severe punishment in baseball and make sure people know that this kind of cheating is not going to be allowed. The other kind is okay, but not this kind. Let's shout it out. 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. Brother Ryan, what do we got today?
All right, well, let's start with this one that came in at around 5 in the morning. Shout it out when getting Chipotle to go while grabbing your napkins. How many napkins should you get before it becomes stealing? I think that's applicable to anything you're getting to go. It didn't need to be Chipotle.
The number is 4. I think 4 napkins is a fair amount of napkins to use. Anything more is stealing. We never bought napkins as a child because my grandmother used to go to places and it like open the napkin holders that they have and just grab wads of napkins. We had McDonald's napkins all the time, Wendy's napkins all the time, Burger King napkins all the time.
It's not a unique tale. That's just life.
Had to buy napkins.
I think everybody's very accepting of the napkin.
So when I first moved out on my own, I'm like, where do I get my I guess I got to go get a hamburger or something and steal napkins.
We do ultimately understand it affects the bottom line and like the price you're paying for what the product is, right?
Yes, ultimately it does, because if you're stealing napkins, then that's a cost that gets passed on. My grandma, anything on the table, my grandmother would swipe. We never spent money on sweet and low.
It's folks like you.
Straws.
Make Chick-fil-A, put the Chick-fil-A sauce behind the counter.
That's it. That's exactly
QT
what it is.
QT is largely
They'll
responsible
give you all the
for
honey you want,
keeping my car clean.
Is it?
So, yeah.
Because of all the napkins you
grab
swipe?
You just grab a stack while you get a drink.
Yeah, I'm 100% in on that.
How many do you take with a snackle?
Depends on
your stack.
Yeah.
You're stacking it no matter what you take in QT, aren't you?
Yeah,
good snackle. 785, my mom drunk dialed me last night. That's definitely a first for me.
No, that was good. That was good.
Like booty call drunk dial or just
hey, why'd you come over for dinner?
My mom gets drunk now and like calls me and like cries about how she misses the kids.
Doesn't she like live down the street?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, come on up, Ma.
Well, she's been drinking. She can rest down.
She gets very.
My mom's going to Billy Joel tonight. I'm sure I'll get a FaceTime when they're singing Piano Man. This could have been you.
Mm-hmm.
No, Mom, it could never have been me.
913, the secret to a perfect batch of puppy chow is using extra peanut butter, extra powdered sugar, and using all of the leftover chocolate chips. So just put extra stuff in there? That's what you told me?
Anything that has extra powdered
sugar. Puppy chow anymore.
Yeah, but that's all it is.
Extra powdered sugar and extra peanut butter and anything makes it much better. That's the secret to
good
life.
I'm not a huge powdered sugar fan.
Really?
Just going to put that out there. Thick burgers or smashed burgers? I like a good smashed burger.
Like where they put it on the grill and they swat it with the thing?
Yeah. Because you can, like, double, triple it up.
Yeah, that's true. I was watching Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives last week, and they were at some place in, like, Michigan on the campus of the Michigan University, and you could order up to, like, as many people were ordering 17 patties on these things.
That's too much.
That's so
816 wants to know how many chuggas are appropriate before saying choo-choo.
Chugga-chugga, chugga-chugga, choo-choo.
Yeah, I think anywhere between 2 to 4.
How many did I just do there?
You did 4.
Chugga, 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 choo, choo. Yeah, 4. I think 4 is the number.
I think you could say chugga, chugga, choo, choo.
Just like napkins.
Chugga, chugga, choo, choo. 2 to 4 is just
chugga,
somewhere
chugga,
in
choo.
That.
Yeah, I think you got to go. I think you 4.
Somewhere.
Because the train is chugging along. It doesn't get to the choo, choo right away, man. There's a little chugga, chugga going on. Yeah,
peanut butter makes burgers taste great, but
yes,
makes turkey burgers taste like butt.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, you would know what butt tastes like.
Yeah. No, I would imagine that. But beef burgers with peanut butter, yeah.
People get on to me about these food things. I'm just reading these in order almost, and they're all food text, by the way.
Because it's the weekend. People are trying to think about what they're going to do.
What's the difference between a hoagie sub and a po' boy?
Well, a hoagie is what they call a sub in, like, New Jersey.
It's
sub is a
where
sandwich.
You're located,
and a po' boy is, like, usually with, like, fried shrimp.
It's like a seafood sandwich, yeah. I love
a
po' boy.
You can get a po' boy without seafood.
Can you?
What?
Yeah.
What are you getting? Like a chicken po' boy?
Sure.
Yeah, you got to get a shrimp po' boy.
That's a chicken Philly at that point.
Or a shrimp po' boy or a crawfish po' boy, right?
The Wichita farts.
The Wichita farts. Yeah, that we did find out that wind source or whatever they're called, is that what it is? The wind surge.
The wind surge.
Wind surge. Wind surge is a Urban Dictionary term for farting.
There's a wind surge.
They're going to have to change that name.
Any legal ideas on how to get 18 grand fast? No,
wow.
Not at all.
Wow.
I've got some illegal ideas if you'd like to discuss it.
That
sounds
great.
Sounds kind of desperate.
I would call Golden Oak and refinance your crib, man.
Boom.
If you could give the finger to anyone with no consequences, who would it be?
I don't know.
John Elway. I want to punch him in the face.
Probably the NCAA for causing KU to have to go through this witch hunt.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what that is. 913 says my jeans keep shrinking.
Yeah, don't put them in the dryer. You're not supposed to wash your jeans.
Someone says six chuggas. That is too many
chuggas. That's way too many chuggas.
It does have to be an even number of chuggas, though,
right? It does. Yeah, you can't go
wild. You can't odd chugga?
No.
Six feels like the train needs some service.
Yeah.
816, do you eat the brat with or without the skin? What?
If you take the skin off, then you just got loose meat.
I guess if you cook it. No, eat the skin on it. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, come on now. Skin for the win.
913 says casinos suck. Not
that's
Harris.
Is this the same person that needs the 18 grand?
That's probably it. It is.
It could be. Let me open up his text conversation. Yep, is it? No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's the guy whose jeans keep shrinking.
You'd also try to get 18 grand at the casino. I don't know.
Yeah, Harris, come up on,
Harris
on
doesn't
Monday.
Suck.
Yeah, come up on Monday to Harris. We'll be there winning streaks. Maybe you can pull out 18 grand in the slot machine or something.
Huh.
They got a big slot tournament going on there this weekend. Every, 10 minutes, someone's going to win, $777.
Someone says eight chuggas. Now it's just madness.
All right, now you're getting out of control.
Let's reel it in here, okay?
Yeah,
throw a
on,
choo-choo
folks.
In there.
Yeah.
785, how do you recognize a streetwalker in winter? Is this like a joke?
I don't know how.
Or, I don't know. I'll wait for the punchline
to come
in.
It feels like a punch. Yeah, punchline.
IV sell skinless brats? What?
We're losing 3 calories by removing the skin?
Boneless, skinless brats.
Boneless brats. If you got a bone-in brat, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, probably so. Should call a doctor.
Apparently, I need to check my Facebook. Okay.
We've found one specific area where the Chiefs need to improve. We'll discuss it next.
Fesco in the morning.
Coming up at 7, we'll continue to discuss the brawl in Cleveland last night, or the skirmish, as NFL.com called it. Everyone else calling it a brawl.
Yeah.
You'll never believe Freddie Kitchens.
Ah, it's just boys being boys.
Yeah. Freddie Kitchens,
after this
man.
One. Freddie being Freddie coming up at 7 o'clock.
You think when all the dust settled, someone was like, all right, break it up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Freddie
That's
Kitchens,
usually how it goes. Yeah,
so back to your corners.
Nobody says break it up until the fight's actually over.
Oh, actually over, right? And you go out there. But this was legit, man. If you're just waking up, Myles Garrett took the helmet off of Mason Rudolph last night, clubbed him on top of the head with it,
all hell broke loose. At the end of the game.
Yeah, it was just... It was like the Malice to the Palace, type of thing.
Three people ejected, and Myles Garrett expecting to be facing a lengthy suspension.
Most people want him, including myself, suspended for the rest of the year. We don't need to see Myles Garrett for the rest of the season in the NFL. Pouncey will probably get a 3-gamer because these two teams are getting ready to play in 16 days, I think, from now. So they'll probably give that guy a 3-gamer so he misses that one. But, man, it was a disaster area out there in Cleveland last night.
So more on that coming up at 7 o'clock. You found a very specific area that you have circled, Fesco, that do this better. Things will look a whole lot better.
Yeah, each week the Chiefs do a really good job of sending 300 pages of game notes. And if you have the time and opportunity to go through them, you do. And I did this week, and I'm going through some of the stuff just really interesting stuff.
It's not.
And, it is. I mean, it is. They've got a stat for everything. And I'm not talking made-up stats semi-pro football out of focus creates. Real stats are actually things that happen on the field. If you had a question.
Real stats that don't matter.
But if you had a question how many times have the Chiefs been inside the 3-yard line and scored this year? They've got a stat for that. They can give you that information, right? And so I was
saying. Damian Williams' run, it was the 72nd time that the Chiefs since 2010 have scored a run outside of the 20 while lining up with 3 wide receivers. That's not valuable to anybody.
That's more valuable than whatever semi-pro football out of focus is rolling out there. So I was thinking about the red zone the other day because we were talking earlier in the week about Kilitrav not being around and only having 2 touchdowns this year and Marcus Peters having 3 touchdowns. I'm like, yeah, where's he been? Why have they seemingly gone away from Kelsey down in the red zone or wherever the case may be? So I started to kind of look through this red zone stats. The Chiefs right now this year have had 32 possessions in the red zone, okay? 32 times they've been inside the red zone, and they have scored 29 times inside the red zone. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Right.
But only 15 touchdowns and 14 field goals. So they're not scoring enough touchdowns down in the red zone. Last year, Patrick Mahomes led the NFL with 35 touchdowns inside the 20-yard line. That is an insane stat, right? 35 touchdowns inside the 20-yard line last year. So the Chiefs right now are 25th in the NFL when it comes to red zone efficiency at 46%. And what I mean by that, scoring a touchdown. That's where red zone efficiency comes into play. They are 26th in the NFL. Denver, Pittsburgh, Washington, Jacksonville, Arizona, Cincinnati score at a lower rate inside the red zone.
Name those teams again.
Denver, Pittsburgh, Washington, Jacksonville, Arizona, Cincinnati. They're not doing a good job inside the red zone.
So the crappiest teams in the league.
Losers.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
And then the...
And then the Jets are even better in the red zone. The Giants are better in the red zone.
And then the number one passing offense in the NFL.
The high-flying Chiefs,
yeah. They don't score inside the 20 from a touchdown perspective. So you think, all right, 46%, what does that mean? Last year, inside the red zone, they scored a touchdown 73% of the time.
And that's pretty good.
That's real good, Josh. I mean, that was, I think, the second best in the NFL last year. Pittsburgh, I think, had a little bit more, like, when you round the percentage points out, they had 73.47%. The Chiefs were at 73.08%. So Pittsburgh technically scored at a better clip inside the red zone. But nobody's even near the 70s. Like, they're in the mid-60s at best last year. I think the next best was Indianapolis, like 67% of the time. So, like, you know, 5-7% of the time less than the two best teams. The Chiefs were awesome inside the 20 last year. And this year, they're scoring at roughly, Josh, a 30% clip less from a touchdown standpoint than they were last year. Had this offense just done what it was supposed to do inside the red zone and not have so many field goal attempts, we're probably looking at definitely a win on Sunday. We're probably looking at a win against, you know, maybe Houston, you know, if they could figure out a way to score touchdowns inside the red zone. But we know where we are now. We can't look back. We're 6-4. We're in first place. Everything to play for still in front of us right
Seven's
now.
Seven's not threes.
Seven's not threes. But going forward, this team can't settle for field goals. This team has to find a way to get into the end zone. And to me, that's where Kelce, you know, and Mahomes need to do better. The two touchdowns, man. That guy is one of the best tight ends in the National Football League and a mismatch for everybody. He should be bread and butter down there at the goal line. That should be Travis Kelce's, you know, sweet nectar of the gods scoring inside the 20-yard line. They should find easy ways to get him those points down inside the 20. But the problem is, when you're not balanced on offense, teams are able to do what they do, and that's take the passing game away and take the passing lanes away. And that's why it goes back to having to run the football more and be more effective in the run game so you don't become so predictable. And I think the predictability of throwing is what's hurting the Chiefs inside the 20-yard line. But I thought that was a wow stat for me. And you know I'm not a stat head or anything like that. But when you were scoring touchdowns 73% of the time last year inside the 20, and you're only scoring them at 46% of the time this year inside the 20, that's a big drastic difference and one that can be remedied and fixed by the offense to take some pressure off the defense and, in turn, the special teams.
And while you've been asking for balance, you weren't thinking balances in terms of 15 touchdowns, 14 field goals.
No, not the kind of
balance you were looking for, a little more towards the touchdown end. But, yeah, being more efficient inside the red zone. And there's a couple people that can help out, too. Not just you could run the football in those situations.
Sure.
Travis Kelce getting in the end zone is, to me, the baffling one. Like he is tailor-made.
I mean, Tony Gonzalez, you think about it all the time, was in there.
To be available in the end zone. Granted, he's going to draw a lot of attention now, especially when you get down close, right? I mean, you don't want Tyreek Hill burning you deep. You don't want Travis Kelce scoring on you in the red zone. So, again, he's going to get more attention. But that's, to me, like force feed the guy, right?
But where's the slant route to Sammy Watkins or to DeMarcus Robinson or something like that in the red zone, right? Like, I don't know if you saw the game on Sunday. What scored a touchdown for the Tennessee Titans? What scored the touchdown for the Tennessee Titans? The play that you were calling for back in Dwayne Bowe days.
Love the slant.
Right?
Underutilized.
Where's that? Yeah. Why aren't we doing that more? Why aren't we running those kind of plays down there? That's what you have to do inside the 20. And the Chiefs got to clean up their act inside the red zone, because you're in the same category as the Denver Broncos, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Not the cool kids table.
Yeah, that's not. You're sitting with the band dorks right now.
Coming up at 7, a one-sided reaction, because there aren't two sides. We'll discuss coming up at 7 o'clock. So this didn't sit well with Royals fans. This was John Heyman. Royals, with new owner coming in, have a very limited budget. With just a few million to spend, they hope to bring back Gordon. That would be Alex Gordon. And a pitcher or two, likely in the pen.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times you've been asked this, Bob, but I've been asked it a lot. So you think the new owner's going to spend some money? Is he going to be ready to spend money?
Well, he just spent a bill and to buy the team.
And my answer is, that's exactly my answer. He just spent $1 billion to buy the team. So I can give him 5 minutes to figure out exactly where his finances are from there.
Yeah.
Okay. Not that he doesn't have a plan and all those things. We haven't heard from the guy, right?
Right.
And two, it cost $1 billion just to get in the ground floor. Think of it as buying a house. Yes, you'd love to do this, and this to your house before you move in. Likely, though, you're not able to do it.
Right.
Because you spent all your money to buy the house.
Correct.
And you might have to then save and then
do the floors 2 years later.
Yes. Do the bathroom redo a little bit later.
Right.
If you're fortunate enough to have all of it so that you can have it ready when you move in, good for you. Most people, you're buying it and you're working on stuff as it goes.
Maybe Sherman should call Golden Oak and get some cash out for the team and use it to buy a player.
Whatever you got to do.
Right?
Whatever you got to do. But the reaction of they're choosing to spend very little. They have plenty of money.
They do? The man just wrote a check for $1 billion. And you know, I saw the tweet by Heyman yesterday. And
if he has only a few million to spend, then this new owner is a joke. One of the reactions.
Oh, come on.
And why exactly do they have so little to spend? One of the questions.
Because it just
cost $1 million.
Yeah, just spent $1 billion on
no
the team.
Team has a limited budget.
Yes, actually they do. They actually do. The one that got
those
me
are some
though,
of the some of the reactions to this Heyman tweet.
The one that got me though was the quote tweet that said "Welp," and I said, "So what were your expectations, Cole or Strasburg? Like who are you? Well, I wasn't expecting either one. This is just depressing to hear." And my follow-up was, what were your expectations? So if you're depressed, what were you hoping for? And 15 hours later, we still haven't gotten a response to
another
that.
Another one, Sherman off to a bad start in Kansas City.
Well, he hasn't even really? Technically bought the team yet. I mean, the deal goes through in less than a week. He gets approved at the owners' meetings. And from what I've been told, once the deal goes through, I think next Wednesday or Thursday, most likely Thursday, I think he gets officially approved by Major League Baseball. Then the following Monday is when the money transfer takes place, and on Monday he will become the official owner of the Kansas City Royals, and that's when he can take over and move into the office and all of that kind of stuff. And I don't know how they do that. If you go onto your bank account, go transfer from one account to the other, $1 billion, please, $1 billion, and just transfer it like that. I don't know how that works. I don't know if Western Union's involved, but the money transfer.
Sorry, made too many transfer transactions this month.
Yeah, right. We're gonna have to charge you $12.50 for this one. What? So the $1 billion
does it at the wrong ATM. It costs him more money.
Yeah,
that
is true. Could you imagine though waking up on Tuesday morning and looking at your statement if you're David Glasgow? I'm $1 billion richer today. How about that?
I would be hitting refresh so much.
Yeah, I'd be running probably the ATM and asking for a withdrawal.
And then I would be Scrooge McDuck playing in all the money.
Right. Yes. Exactly. And so for me, I think we're out to make all these rash judgments right away about a new owner. The fact of the matter, though, Josh, is the economics are still exactly the same in Kansas City, no matter who owns the ball club. And that's where we are right now. We're still at an economic point where we're behind all of these other markets. And what the Royals have been able to accomplish in this setup of Major League Baseball to go to back-to-back World Series and win the one like they did, baseball is not set up for a team like the Kansas City Royals to be competitive and to contend and do everything like the Yankees and the Red Sox are. They have to do it the hard way. They've got to earn it. They've got to develop the minor league talent. And there's no reason to go out there and spend bad money. The Royals probably aren't going to go to the playoffs in 2020. Why go out there and spend $8 million on this guy and $12 million on that guy for no apparent reason? Use that money and save that money for when you're drafting guys in the minor league, so you don't have to draft somebody based on signability. You can draft them on ability. Use that money to work on your minor league system, because that's the future of the ball club right now. I don't think going out and getting some 23rd man on the roster that's a free agent and overspending for that is a smart financial decision. But to be on Twitter and to rip the new owner, I think is wrong, because he hasn't even owned the team yet, and so we got to give the guy an opportunity to see what he's going to do. But I don't expect things to really drastically change because of the market in which we're in.
We'll wait to actually hear from him. It'll be great when we do hear from him.
And he will be joining us in studio once he takes over the ball club.
I am eagerly anticipating. I also am not saying, oh, by the way, is your checkbook ready to...
So how much you got to spend?
Yeah, come on. It's $1 billion to buy the team.
Right, because, again, the Royals won a world championship and weren't one of the top spenders in baseball.
And there's a whole bunch of prospects coming.
Right.
Let's get to that day.
We're excited. Wait till June, man, and we see some of these guys on the laminated depth chart. People are going to be excited.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, a radio.com sports station. Your chance to win $25 to Blind Box Barbecue. It is our 7 o'clock hour prize just for listening. And Ryan makes it easy for you to win.
I do like to keep it simple on the people. All you have to do is listen, dial. Two-part. That's it.
Two-parter.
Listen for this.
You got to go.
Now, next time you hear that, be caller number.
I'm going to go with caller number 11 today.
Ooh, caller 11. 913-576-7610. The next time you hear that, caller number 11 is going to get hooked up with $25 to Blind Box Barbecue.
11 for the amount of time Miles Garrett ripped on the face mask before he ripped it off the
That's exactly what it was. Rudolph, yeah. No, I was going to go with Rudolph's number, but two is just two. Yeah, it's two.
And it was higher than two for him to get that helmet
Mason
ripped
Rudolph
off.
Rudolph played like number two.
The end of the game last night, won by Cleveland, 21-7 over Pittsburgh, marred by the finish. Miles Garrett ripping the helmet off of Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph, swinging said helmet and hitting him in the head. Luckily, it was, for the most part, a kind of a glancing blow, but it was the bottom of the helmet, not the top of the helmet. Chaos,
it was kind of the ear flap area. Yeah.
Chaos ensued. Couple of Steelers jumping in. Marquise Pouncey then decides to start kicking Garrett while he's on the ground. Just an absolute mess. But here's Freddie Kitchens, the Cleveland Browns coach, after the game.
Did you say I okayed fights? I never okayed fights. Did I want them to get after their ass? Yes, I did. But that's not fighting. That's not after the whistle. But that's between the whistles, yes. I never condone fighting on a football field because that's penalties. I don't coach penalties. I don't coach false starts. I don't coach after the whistle grabbing somebody's face mask. I don't coach that. So I don't know what you're talking about with Indianapolis when I condone fighting. That's putting words in my mouth. I've never in my life condoned a fight. That's a penalty.
Okay, Fred.
But boys will be boys.
I don't condone fighting, but I'll tell you what, I can go in some ass kicking boys out there.
Them boys will be boys.
How many times did he spit in a dip cup during that press conference?
He was so mad he actually scooped it out.
Oh, he scooped it out, threw it down, flicked it.
Flicked it
next
to
the podium.
Then
wiped his hands on his jeans.
Yeah.
I tell you what, man, I don't condone that swinging and stuff, but ass kicking, I'm all for. Mm-hmm, you bet. Mm-hmm.
Here's the incident from the Pittsburgh side.
He runs up the field and gets out of bounds, but that is not a first down pickup, and it's far short.
Oh, we got reaction.
We got flags. And the Steelers, we got a kick in the end zone by a Steeler. And
look,
I think the kick to the
out.
Head.
He hit him with a helmet.
Tried to hit Mason
with the helmet.
Well, yeah.
Well, this just sets the stage for
the rematch.
Yeah, it does.
And that was very early on, so I don't think they knew the significance of it at that point in time, right? Like,
we got ourselves a rematch in 16 days.
But they all went, because that'd be the natural reaction in the stadium, right?
Well, your eyes were watching the play.
It's removed, and then something's going to happen, and you're like, this is a car wreck. This is the excitement of football. You're like, oh, my goodness. And it wouldn't be till you, wait a minute. Whoa, he pulled on the face mask how many times? And then full roundhouse swung the helmet as well?
We're not gladiators. This isn't the Roman Coliseum.
No, it is.
Here's the Cleveland side of things.
And he takes the snap with 14 seconds to go, and he got hit again. He flares it out. Edmonds catches it. Richardson chases him. Burris now gets in there and knocks him out. And there's a brawl going down inside the 10-yard line. Mason Rudolph and Larry Ogunjobi are going down, and the Steelers are kicking Ogunjobi in the head, and the benchers are coming off the field. Both sides are coming off the field. Marquise Pouncey was kicking Ogunjobi in the head.
Well, I think he'll have next weekend off.
Now, Freddie Kitchens is on the Browns sideline and telling the rest of his team to stay in the bench area. The Steelers only have about 10 guys left in their bench area. And security is out in the end zone stringing the end zone, making sure the fans don't get out on the field.
So they missed it, too, and I can't say I blame.
It's hard, yeah.
The play was down the field. They didn't have the opportunity to replay at that moment.
He was ready to crush Pouncey, wasn't he?
Saw the aftermath. He's kicking somebody
out there. He'll be out next week. There's no room for that in this game. Oh, wait, our guy hit him with a helmet. Oh, my God. Retract everything.
He swung the helmet and did make contact. Man, it could have been worse.
Could have been a lot worse. Yeah, it could have been a lot worse.
He's knocked out at minimum.
Yeah, I mean he got hit in the head with the side of the helmet, not necessarily the thickest part of the helmet, but it was still. I mean, if you do that on the streets, if you're walking down the streets today and you take something like a blunt object and smack somebody, you're going to jail. Like in real life, that is a jailable type offense. And I think Myles Garrett, for my opinion, and I think a lot of people are starting to feel this way, he'll be done for the year. We don't need to see any more Myles Garrett out there on the field. He's a menace to the NFL right now and needs to sit out the rest of the year. And the NFL needs to send a message that we're not going to tolerate this. You can't preach player safety and then allow a guy who rips some dude's helmet off and smacks him on top of the head with said helmet to play again. I mean, it just goes right in the face of player safety. And I think we probably will see a very swift deal. I mean, Vontaze Burfict got suspended for the rest of the year, like week two. I mean, so the NFL is not going to tread lightly on this, and we will see a fast reaction. He will be suspended for the rest of the year and should be suspended for the rest of the year, and I'm sure the Players Association will try to appeal it to get that suspension down. But at this point in time, what he did out there on Thursday Night Football is reprehensible, and he should be gone without pay for the rest of the season and then have to apply for reinstatement next year.
Mason Rudolph after the game.
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know. But I know it's Bush League. I know he's, total coward move on his part. You know, I get it. I mean, it's okay, though. You know, I'll take it. I'm not going to back down from any bully out there. So we'll see what happens.
Mason Rudolph
ready to go.
Who, if you watch the video, looked like he was trying to take the helmet off of Garrett.
Right. First. Before it all started, yes.
But that doesn't negate Garrett at all, but it looked like Mason Rudolph was trying to grab his helmet off.
Right. Well, the two are kind of wrestling around.
And then Garrett just goes face mask. Yank, 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 yank. Ripped off. Swing.
Yeah. Clubbed him on top of the head. And that's when Pouncey stepped in and swung and kicked.
Myles Garrett, to his credit, didn't go out the back door, I guess.
That's true. Like Kendrick Lewis did in the playoff game against Houston.
He did try to apologize.
He's going to come back to hurt our team. You know, the guys who jumped in the scrum. I appreciate, my team had my back, but it just never got to that point. That's on me.
There you go. That's on me.
You own it, man. I'm good with that.
And then he was asked if he feels like this is it for the year.
Do you feel you played the final game of the season tonight?
No clue.
Did Mason say something? Is that what started things?
I just got to go look at it. No, I'm not going to comment on it.
Yeah, you're better off not saying, well, he said something. Yeah,
he started it.
I don't know if that's going to fly necessarily.
Did Mason say something? Did he call your mom a name?
Marquise Pouncey, who is going to probably face some type of, I'm guessing he might get a suspension too. Maybe a small suspension because he's kicking Myles Garrett while he's on the ground.
Right.
In the head, in the helmet.
He'll get a three-gamer so he doesn't play against Cleveland in 16 days.
He was pinned down, I think, by DeCastro, Garrett was, and then Pouncey jumps in and starts kicking, regulate the thing.
Marquise, should Garrett be done for the year for what he did?
Absolutely, 100%. We'll see how serious the NFL is about their players.
Do you expect anything to happen to you?
Who cares? My man got hit in the head with a helmet. I mean, I'll see whatever penalty it is.
Can you remember being that angry on a football field?
Nah, I blacked out. I don't even remember it, really, to be honest with you.
That's how mad he was. He blacked. I love his answers there, though, and I'm okay. Once that helmet gets smashed on top of Mason Rudolph's head, no holds bar, man. You got the opportunity and the ability as one of his teammates to do what you think is necessary to stop that guy, because Myles Garrett was like an unleashed beast. We've all been mad and angry in one of those moments for a few seconds, right? You've all been mad, not to that extent. And then when Marquise Pouncey goes, I don't know, I blacked out, I was so mad. Like, that guy's coming to the aid of one of his teammates in that situation. Once that helmet gets taken off and used as a weapon, hey, it's on down there on the field. And people are going to take care of business the way that they feel fit to take care of business. And I thought Marquise Pouncey did what he saw fit to go out there and take care of things out there on the field because he was coming to the aid of his guy.
Yeah,
that's
what he's like. I'm wearing it.
Yeah, I don't really care. The dude hit my quarterback with his helmet. I don't care if I'm suspended.
So three ejections in the game last night. They finished up the final, 8 seconds or whatever it was of the game. Got everybody off the field. The expectation seems to be around the league that they're going to handle this thing this morning.
Yeah, good.
I mean, that word of a suspension may come down sooner rather than later. You look at the video, there's not much dispute. I mean, it's about the most one-sided thing you've ever seen. Like, there's no... You can't go, well, he did this or he did that. Nah, you swung that. You took it too far.
And the worst part about this fight, Josh, is it will be national news now, and people will try to utilize it to give the NFL a black eye. You know, like every morning TV show, you know, where they're all sitting around drinking coffee. Go, can you believe the violence in the NFL?
It's Myles Garrett, man.
Right, it's one guy.
He's going to have to wear this moment for the rest of his career.
That's right. This is him. This is not the league, and I don't
he'll
think
forever
the league...
have the swinging helmet.
Right, he will. No, he absolutely will. I don't think the league gets a black eye for this and should get a black eye for this. But you know, there's going to be a lot of twisting and turning how the NFL has become. Wait, has the NFL become too violent? We look at that tonight at 10.
So all the sports websites called it a brawl, except for NFL.com, which described it as a skirmish.
A skirmish. I'm surprised they haven't reduced it to a fuss yet.
So, kerfuffle. Jamie in Paola wins $25 to
it's a lady.
Blind Box Barbecue, just for listening. That was our 7 o'clock hour prize. You can win $10 of Slim Chickens by playing this week's edition of...
Who are you talking about?
913-576-7610 to play. Line them up next.
All right, boys. Break it up.
Fesco in the morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.